Church, we've been talking about, kind of started 2 weeks ago, but we have a faith. But that faith needs to grow. And it will grow as we add to our faith the things that Pastor Chuck talked about last week from chapters or verses 3 through 9. And we need to add to. Now, those are not works, as me and Pastor Chuck, and I'm sure he made it very clear last week. These are not works. These are things that help our faith grow. It's about growth in the Lord. And then we got to say, what does our faith do for us? Why do I have this faith? Well, I want you to know today, it gives us an eternity with Jesus. That's what it's about. In fact, all of the important questions that people wrestle with in life, this is probably among the top. Will I go to heaven when I die? Will I go to heaven when I die? I've asked that question. How many think they've asked that question in some form or some way, going, is that really what's going to happen? Today I want you to hear what Peter is telling the church in this letter in 2 Peter, just two verses today, verse 10 and 11. This is what he says. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make sure you're growing is really what he's saying. For if you do these things, what things? Those things are adding to your faith. The way that Peter described them, the way Pastor Chuck talked about them last week. He says, then you will never stumble. How many would like to never stumble? Verse 11, and you will receive. Everybody say those words with me. And you will receive. What are you going to receive? A rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for your word. Thanks for the hope of heaven. We look forward to that day. Whether it is a rapturing, catching away, or through death. Lord, we look to our eternity. So help us be faithful, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin by addressing two terms you may have heard in that first passage today. The terms are calling and election. I believe that Peter is using these terms to refer to God's work, not our work. It's God's work in bringing us to a point of faith. For instance, it is the Holy Spirit that is always calling people to come to salvation and calling them to grow in their faith. It is God who has elected or chosen that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. Peter writes this thought just a few verses later in chapter 3 when he says this about God in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want any to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God has not selected that these people will make it and these people won't. God has given everybody the opportunity. He has elected to say everybody has the opportunity to go to heaven. That is what he chose to do by sending his son to die on the cross. Just for a moment, think with me. If God said, I'm choosing this bunch, but this bunch, you're not going to make it, then why in the world would he ever go through the sending of his son to pay for the sin for you and not for you? It doesn't make sense. God so loved the world that he sent his son. So God loves everyone and has elected the idea that everybody has the opportunity. God desires to give people also enough time. We go, God, come. Come, Lord Jesus. And he says, but I want everyone. And I don't know the day or the time, but he's allowing people to respond to his grace. But he also knows that everyone will not respond to that grace. Even though the Holy Spirit is convicting people of their sin, and even though God is patient, there's too many people that are caught up in the world. They're blinded by the enemy. They cannot really see what God has done for them. And Peter in this passage is reminding us, saying, make sure we are continuing to follow God because eternity is our destiny. Make sure that you're following God. Now, Peter is not the only one to talk about eternity in that way. In fact, John the disciple writes this in his little book, 1 John 5:13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. You need to know that. I'll talk about that in a moment. Paul the Apostle writes these words near the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept what? The faith. This faith that we're talking about. He says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to what? To all who have longed for his appearing. Even Jesus tells Martha this as he goes and heading to the graveside of Lazarus. In John 11, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Church, the Bible is filled with scriptures that speak of our eternal destiny to be with the Lord. But when it comes to talking about our eternity, there seems to be about four different groups of people. There may be more, maybe you could combine these, but I want to share with you four groups of people today. The first group would be this, people who are not saved and they know it. People that really do not have an understanding of eternity. These people have no interest in the things of God. They give no regard to the things of the Lord in the way they live their lives, even to the point that they feel no sorrow for the sin they engage in. Oh, it doesn't mean it doesn't have consequence. They just don't feel sorry for it. These people can repent and should repent, and they can be saved. But if they do not repent, they will face eternal judgment and separation from God forever. I'm sure you might even know who some of these people are. And I would say if you're in that group today, somehow you've ended up in church, but you don't know God and don't care about God, I'm telling you today, you can know God and you should know Him by putting your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior because He died on a cross for you. A second group might be people who are truly saved but struggle in their walk with God. There are many who have a true faith in Christ and they've looked to Jesus for forgiveness and new life. And they really want to walk with the Lord, but they still struggle with sin in their life. They also tend to struggle and wonder, am I still saved? They wonder, is God's grace really enough to really save me? In fact, they might even say, no one can really know if they're going to heaven. And part of that's because they believe, well, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life and then I messed up and God erased my name and until I repent, He won't put my name back in there. And they struggle to understand the keeping power and the keeping grace of our God. I want you to listen to these passages in Jude 24. Says, now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. Do you understand that God loves you so much that he put his spirit within you? He is walking with you. And I know, and he knows that the sin nature has a pull on us, but he is helping us. That's where the Holy Spirit is helping us. And when we do, he convicts us. And of course, we know if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive you of all unrighteousness. And then what does he do? He with great joy, with no fault, he brings you into his presence. You need to remember we're saved through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. And will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. God's watching over our lives. He's watching over his work in us. So you can put your confidence in God. Peter said this in his first letter, 1 Peter 1:5. I'll bring it back to your remembrance. And through your what? Faith. God is what? Protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So church, we've got to trust that God's love, God's grace is strong enough to watch over our souls. Now, can you walk away from the Lord? Yes, you can. We call it backsliding. Or falling away. That's what he talks about. I don't want that to happen. But that would be where you turn your back on God. I'm telling you, you just do your best to stay surrendered to him. You do your best to keep your eyes on Jesus and let him be faithful. Amen. A third group of people might be people who think they are saved but are not. Now, this is kind of frightening. I want you to hear a passage that Jesus teaches in Matthew 7, where he says these words, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not listen to what they've done? Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Now when we read passages like that, all of a sudden you go back to flipping. Am I one of those? You need to understand your assurance. Now, you need to understand that most likely these are people who are using the gospel to benefit their own personal life. That's what they've done. They're not interested really in the kingdom of God. There is a cloak of that, but really it's about them. Now, people go, well, does it still benefit the kingdom of God when people preach that way? Yes, it does. For those who truly respond to Christ, because it's a relationship with Christ, not through a person. I know that I followed Jimmy Swaggart in my early days, and that when he had a failure, I came to faith through that type of ministry. I'm like, but you know what? It had nothing to do with him. And I have to leave him in God's hands. I have to deal with me. I serve the Lord with gladness. I follow his commands. I know him. And he knows me. Those that who think they're acting on behalf of God, they're really doing it on their own pride or their own benefit. They're people who believe I've really done everything necessary possibly they feel that for salvation. They turned it into a work. And so they have a false view of salvation. In fact, they'll fall into one of these general false beliefs. One is they'll begin to believe everybody goes to heaven. That is universalism. You'll see universal churches. They argue God is just too loving to ever send anybody to hell. But they fail to understand and see that God is completely holy and just in all his ways. So he has to send to hell those who are against him. And by the way, hell was never really made for mankind. It was made for Satan and his angels or his demons. But God will send those who do not repent to the same eternal fire as Satan and his demons go to. Jesus says this in Matthew 25:41. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons." You need to know hell is a real place. And those who have a false view of what salvation is are going to end up there. And then there are those who believe they're saved because they're religious. One day they're going to really find out it was about a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion. You did not come in here to do a religious duty today. You came in to worship the Lord, to fellowship with his people, to hear his word, to be stirred so your life can grow and know him more. That's why you're here. Sadly, those who think, well, I've logged enough time reading the Bible, and I've gone to church enough, and I've cleaned my act up, and I'm going to be welcomed by God. They're going to find out they're not going to be welcomed because they don't have a relationship with God. And if you did not know this, I'm going to tell you this today. God does not only see us when we're in church. God sees us all the time. And God's not going to be fooled by the performance of your life. If it's just a performance, you might as well just perform the other way, because God's not fooled. God truly knows what is in your heart. Proverbs 16:2 says, "People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives." Jeremiah 17:10 says, "But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." So God knows. And understand, coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ is what saves you, not a religious experience. And all I can say here is beware of falling into this group. A final group here would be people who are saved and they know that they're saved. I want to be careful here that this is not meant to be an arrogant statement. I truly believe we ought to be people who have the full assurance of the promise of eternity with Jesus, especially for those who know him as your Lord and Savior. In fact, I really believe this is what Peter's point here in this passage is. He wants us to be people who know where we stand with the Lord. But as I wrap up, I want to wrap it up with this thought, with three thoughts. First thought is this: God wants us to have assurance of eternity with Jesus. When I say, "I know I'm going to heaven," there's some people that may cringe at that a little bit. They begin to think you're arrogant. You think you're better than other people. And that would be true if I was saying, "I believe I've earned salvation." However, that is not what I'm saying. What I am saying when I say I know I'm going to heaven is this: I know that I'm a sinful person and I deserve hell. And my confidence is not in my performance, but on the wonderful and overwhelming grace of God and the promise of God that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will live even though they die. That's what I'm saying. Church, when I say I know I'm going to heaven, I'm not declaring anything about me. I am testifying to God's faithfulness, God's mercy, and God's grace. And so, church, when you really understand God's grace and you know you're going to heaven, you're not filled with pride. In fact, it's just the opposite. You're filled with gratitude and with humility Because God loves you so much, and he's given you the privilege of knowing him, the creator of the universe. And you get to be with him forever because of what he did for us on the cross. I am humbled, but I'm also confident because of his promise. Just know God wants us to have an assurance of eternity with Jesus. A second thought is God wants us to have assurance of eternity so we will not fall. Many car accidents happen because people are not paying attention. Person talking on the phone, one that my family still fusses at me and I have to throw the phone down, is texting. It's not good. Y'all thought I was perfect, didn't you? No. Maybe it's yelling at the kids. I'm glad those days are over in the car. Radio distractions, whatever they might be, they get your attention off of driving. Church, we need to be careful in this world to not allow ourselves to be distracted by the things of this world and let them draw us away. Paul the Apostle writes this to Titus in Titus 3, verse 3. He said, once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled. You've got to understand, because when we get a little further in this book, in this letter, there are going to be false prophets we're going to talk about. And I do not want you to be misled. He said, we became misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us what? Confidence that we will inherit eternal life. But we can't be misled. Church, we got to keep our eyes on eternity or we can get lost in the temporal things of the world. I know there's a lot of things that the enemy would want to use to distract us in our walk with God. He would want us to stumble. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of what? Our faith. Do you hear how it keeps coming back? I have faith. And faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But it's evident that it's going to happen because of my hope, even though I've not seen it. God wants us to have assurance of eternity with Jesus. God wants us to have assurance of eternity so we will not fall. And third, God wants us to have assurance of eternity to help us live and die with confidence. 2 Peter 1:11 again, and you will receive. Say those words with me again. And you will receive. Listen to what you're going to receive. A rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about how differently you could live your life if you're not afraid to die. I find a lot of believers, they're really strong in their faith until the moment of death begins to come. And they begin to question. Church, there's no need to question if you've been following the Lord. You don't have to worry about death because you're confident of your eternity with Jesus. I mean, could we declare with Paul when he makes this statement, for me to live is Christ, the living part? If I'm going to live, it's going to be the anointing of God upon my life. And to die is gain. Wow. Church, that's how we're supposed to live. Knowing that we have this assurance of what God accomplished for us through Jesus Christ on the cross, not what we accomplished. All I did is I came into faith because I believe that Jesus died on a cross for me. And I surrendered my life to him. So I don't live in fear. Why? Because I'm free from the fear of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's all because of the God of the universe. By the way, he's preparing a place for you. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go, and by the way, did he go? He did. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answers with this statement that you know so well, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sometimes we gloss over those words, but I am the way. He is the only way. No other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the truth. What have we read that is the truth? He is going to prepare. He's having a place. And if he goes, he'll come back. He'd take you to be there to this place he's prepared for you. And he's the life, eternal life, life here. Church, Jesus is the way to heaven. And if we put our faith and our trust in him, then we get to spend eternity with him. And if God, who brings, by the way, he brings life to us and brings us to faith in Christ for salvation. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this. Do you keep hearing that word confidence keep coming back? Be confident of this, that he who began a good work where? Will what? To what? When? Where's your confidence, church? Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. God will be faithful to his word. And our eternity starts by embracing the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Church, God's provided everything we need for salvation. That was in the very beginning. Everything we need, he's provided. And Peter is calling us as people of God. Just make sure you know Jesus Christ. I have a riddle for you today. Three frogs are on a log. Two decide to jump into the water. How many frogs are left on the log? The answer is this. Three are on the log. Because deciding to jump and actually jumping are two different things. I'm encouraging you today to have more than just the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to do more than just decide one day I'm going to accept Jesus. One day I'm going to follow him. I'm asking you today to jump in wholeheartedly. Step into what God has for you. And you'll find the goodness of the Lord following you and chasing you everywhere you go. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that scripture, but it says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That means everywhere I step, everywhere I go, goodness and mercy are right. I leave them there. They're not really coming and follow. They follow me because that's what I live. Wherever you walk, there should be grace and mercy falling off of you. There should be goodness because you are the representative of God. You are His ambassador, as though God is making His appeal through you to this world. But today, if you've not accepted Jesus, I'm asking you, jump in. Just don't make some decision that you've never followed through with. There's a lot of people that go to a roller coaster. I've decided I'm going to ride it. You could get in line, but until you get on, you haven't rode it. Until you get into faith and say, I'm all in because I have an eternity with Jesus. I am confident. Church, we do not have to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear of what other people would do. Do we need to be cautious in the way we live? Yes, so we don't stumble. That's why we need to add to our faith goodness and brotherly love and these things and let them begin to pour so when we walk, goodness falls out of us. So church, that's where we need to live. Would you bow your heads? If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe you need to rededicate your life today. Maybe you've kind of allowed things to disrupt you and distract you. They don't have to any longer. We're going to grow. That's what we're doing, church. But if you want to accept Jesus today, I want to pray with you. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you today. And if that's you, would just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. I'm just looking across the balcony and congregation today, and main floor. Because I don't want to leave this place and you be unsure of where you're going. If you're online with us today and you've not made that decision, today you can make that decision. I look your way. Don't just decide, jump in today. Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, I pray for these who are accepting you right now. Lord, that you would give them the confidence of their faith. Lord, that you would let them feel the security of the Holy Spirit that you are sealing them with right now. And Lord, would you allow us to be so sensitive in our lives that we are listening for the Holy Spirit's voice to make those adaptations in our life that need to be made to honor you with everything we do. So Lord, to you be the glory and honor. Because you've been so gracious. We invite you to not only live in us, but to cleanse us. And then, God, fill us with your Spirit. And we ask this in the lovely and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, we're just kind of walking through this so simple, but I felt it so important. And I know I gave Pastor Chuck tons of information last week. But it wasn't just for a Sunday message. It was for a life to live. And if you didn't get it all, it's in your Bible. You can go back, read it again and again, and say, God, I have faith. I want to add to it. But in that adding, we start going, well, I don't know if I did that well. I don't know. Wait a minute. I want you to have the security and confidence of what God has called you to. Because we may mess up. We probably do mess up. But I'm confident in what God has done because I know my heart toward Him. At least I'm working it the best I know. He knows my motives. But God, I want to serve Him. And that's what I want you to do. And I want you to get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because as we keep walking through this, there are going to be things that want to challenge your life and your thoughts and your beliefs. And we need to make sure those are foundational. Because this belief of knowing that, you know what God has said, He will fulfill. You've got to have that confidence. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says what can be shaken will be shaken. You, as believers in Jesus Christ, should not be shaken by anything going on in this world. We're not shaken by death. We're not shaken by disease. We're not shaken by government. Why? Because I'm looking to eternity. All I'm doing is I'm traveling through. And you've got to live with that mindset. Amen? Father, help us live it out. Help us grow it out. Give us that confidence, I pray, that we honor you and keep our minds stayed on you. Looking, for our redemption draweth nigh. So, Lord, help us to not be distracted in any way, but, Lord, to stay focused on you. Eyes on Jesus. And we give you thanks, for you are our Savior and our soon coming King. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. May the name of the Lord be praised. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to heaven. Not in pride, but in humility. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week.